back on Canuck Central. I'm already longing for the sun of the weekend.
It's only been a couple. It's only been a couple of days. It's not even that bad. It just started raining today. It hadn't even rained a lot the last few
days. I know. It's just, I know. Days like today, they bring you back down. It's like, oh, I'm getting excited for spring. Cherry blossoms are coming. And then it's like, oh.
Well, it's going to rain. We had like the driest January in ever.
Yes.
And I don't mean, you know, what you're doing at home or not doing at home or at the bar.
Yeah. I mean, I was ready to get the golf clubs out.
Yeah.
And get going.
I mean, it's been like spring, almost spring-like temperatures.
It's been warm.
Yeah.
It's been warm. Even prompted Josh to almost get the clubs out of the storage unit.
They were moved to the front of the storage unit.
Josh spent the weekend moving the clubs to the front of the storage unit. I love that.
Getting closer. Now we're almost at grab and go territory.
Yeah, and then I checked the weather and I was like, okay, rain, they'll stay there. They're not going in the trunk.
Might not need these just yet, but after Sunday, clocks change, and then sun will be setting after 7 o'clock. So we'll go home and it'll still be light out. It's great. It's great news. 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Get your takes in there on the Canucks deadline plans as we dive into it a little bit more. Trade deadline coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by AJ's Pizza on East Broadway for diehard pizza people. Order online at AJ's.pizza. Yeah. It's the open.
Welcome to the open.
That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest being that the captain is still very much injured for the Vancouver Canucks set.
Yeah, and today's headlines were dominated by Elias Pettersson and his comments, and we'll get to that.
Yes.
But
think there's a bigger headline.
Well, yeah, the actual newsworthy item was Quinn Hughes and the head coach mulling the idea of shutting him down for a week and perhaps getting the best of him for the final 15 games. And he spoke about how, you know, he might have to be the bad guy here to keep Quinn out of the lineup and make sure he's healthy. It doesn't look like Quinn Hughes is doing all that well right now.
Yeah, he practiced for about 15 minutes today, did some drills, wasn't able to be a full participant in practice, clearly laboring something. Here's what Rick Tocchet had to say about Hughes's status when he spoke with media today.
Well, I don't think it's to a point where it's threatening anything. It's just, you know, there's a little bit of pain, things like that, but we wouldn't let him play if it was physically going to hurt him, like a long-term thing. So nobody's ever really 100% at this time of the year anyways. So, but, you know, he's a competitor. But we also, you know, sometimes I got to intervene and, you know, be the bad guy and say, hey, listen, the guy wants to play. We're in a dogfight, and he's just that type of guy.
So is this going to be the norm for the rest of the season then?
Well, that's where we talked today. Is it better for, you know, I'd have to talk to the trainers. Is it better to shut him down for like 7 days? And do we get him for the last 15? I don't know at this point. We got to try to figure that out.
There's Rick Tocchet sounding the alarm bells on the captain, Quinn Hughes. Now, you know, he's a little bit hypothesizing. Maybe what he's thinking in the back of his mind is this a situation of if we shut him down for a week, will we get a closer to 100% Quinn Hughes to help us for the final push of the season? But that just the idea that that's a thought along the way in their process tells you the captain is nowhere close to 100%.
Yeah, and even the week off, based on the way he was talking about things, doesn't guarantee that he is going to necessarily be 100%, but like maybe that's the best option that you have right now. But can you actually be in the playoff race for the final 15 games if you don't have him for the next 7, potentially?
Absolutely.
Careful to say absolutely not, considering the turtles involved in this derby.
I was very close to saying absolutely not, and then I was like, well, they did go 3-0-1 in the 4 games prior to the Four Nations break without their captain in the lineup, so they did show that they could have some success without Quinn in the lineup.
And they also went 1-4 with Quinn, or at least partially with Quinn.
Yeah.
And that still has them tied with Calgary for the final wildcard spot. So even losing, going 1-4 on the road trip, didn't put them out of the playoff race. So they can still be in the race.
Yes.
But like, how good do you feel about... So the whole idea of let's hold on to our own guys as our own rentals. If you're this unsure about Quinn Hughes's physical stature and ability at the moment,
yeah,
how can you confidently go into the rest of the season feeling like, hey, we can make the playoffs and we should hold on to guys for the pursuit of the postseason? I don't know if that adds up.
You don't want to give up on the playoffs, but also at the same time, you have to do what's prudent for the franchise and prudent to help you putting the best product on the ice for next year when you do get Quinn Hughes back and fully healthy and you're that much closer to having to negotiate a new contract with your captain.
So what would you put the Canucks playoff odds at if he only plays a final 15 games?
Oh, man.
Like right now, they're probably at a coin flip.
43%.
Yeah, good maybe
one.
Even less.
That was a good one.
But I mean, right now, they're a coin flip, you'd say, right? Somewhere around coin flip?
Honestly, like...
You want to say 60%?
Even still, they're between 55 and 60%.
Okay, so let's say 55.
But that just shows, like, I don't believe in any of the teams around the race, really.
Yeah,
like, I don't believe in St. Louis. I don't believe in Utah. Certainly not as much as Drance does. I don't believe in the Calgary Flames, who score less than the Vancouver Canucks do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I believe in the Canucks, though. That's the thing, right, based on how they've played. But at the same time, let's say for argument's sake, it is a coin flip. If Quinn's going to miss seven games, like, what is it, 40%, 35%? And for having that type of a chance of getting into the postseason, are you actually holding on to players and not trading them? Like, I just don't know if that computes.
Good time to inject this 3-1 lead for the Calgary Flames in the first period over the Philadelphia Flyers.
Well, there you go. Make it even harder.
So, okay, but what are we talking about here? Besser's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Pugh Suter's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Noah Juulsen, you can't trade him. He's injured and out for the year. Derek Forbert, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So those are your three pending UFAs. We heard more about Suter today. Obviously, Brock is still an ongoing decision, given that he could still be a part of the future here, but are you just saying, all right, time to move on from Suter and Derek Forbert then, at the very least?
Yeah, I mean, number one, if you really wanted to bring Derek Forbert back in free agency, you probably could for a cheap deal. At the same time, the Canucks have
the old Thomas Plekanec.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to, but if not, I mean, Susie's still under contract. We'll see what happens with him in this offseason. And we've talked about how their top forward, Myers, Pettersson, Hronek, and Hughes, like, they're kind of set. You want to get DPD involved. You have Ylander waiting in the wings. You have Mancini as well, part of things. So you have enough options internally to only be looking at dirt cheap veteran options anyways to compete next year. Like, you're talking about guys making $1.5 million. What's the point of holding on to Derek Forbert? Even if it is a fifth round pick, I'll take the fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Use that in a separate trade this offseason to acquire something. I don't really care about the picks as far as the Canucks making those selections in these trades. I think of it more as having assets that they can use in trade. Can you get even? I'd rather them get a 2026 fifth.
Yeah.
Have that asset to make a deal in the offseason, maybe even during the season next year, right? Like, that's how I view it. If you can get that, even for Pugh Suter, if you're not keeping Pugh Suter and you're going to hold on to Besser, right?
Yeah.
Then move Suter. Get whatever you can for him. And before, I was kind of like, hey, you can be in the race and still hold on to him. We're talking about a third round pick, maybe a second if we're talking the high end of it. And I can understand you not making the move because you want to be a playoff team. But when you look at the equation right now, just get the asset back.
Yeah.
If you're not signing these two guys, and clearly, especially if Suter's going to command $3.5 to $4 million, I don't think you can sign him.
Well, the word is that they're very clearly a pretty long ways away from any kind of negotiation here with Pugh Suter.
So if you're still deliberating on Besser, and you might still sign him if you don't trade him, you got to move Suter and Forbert. Like, you have to.
So if Trent Frederick went for a second and a couple of prospects today at 50% retained, he's only got 8 goals and 7 assists. I mean, if you're just going on the offensive numbers, Pugh Suter has been the stronger player this year. Now, Suter plays a lot more for the Canucks than Frederick does for the Bruins. Suter is a very different style of player than Trent Frederick might be, who's got a little bit more sandpaper to his game. But I mean, is the Trent Frederick trade today not a sign that Pugh Suter's value would at least be similar at a second round pick?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a third and a prospect or something. Like, yeah, maybe a second, and that's still decent value. Like, I'd rather it be a 27 second.
Yeah.
That's the pick you traded away to get the Mikheyev money off the books to the Chicago Blackhawks. Can you get that pick back?
Recoup that.
Yeah, and then you can use that in another trade this offseason, for instance, right? Like, I think where the Canucks find themselves, especially with how poorly they've played, how a lot of their players are underachieving, and now you add the other layer of Quinn Hughes' health, and he is your only hope of being a playoff team and doing anything once you get there. And if you can't even rely on him, at least for the next couple of weeks, to be healthy,
yeah,
like how confident do you feel about where you are? You have to sell your UFAs you're not keeping.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, I can understand you trading Besser. All I'm saying is if you're keeping Besser, you got to move the other guys.
Yeah.
You can't just hold on to these guys and roll the dice on a 35% or 40% chance of making the postseason, right?
There's less and less reason to keep on to these guys. Like, even if you beat Anaheim tomorrow, your situation without Quinn Hughes at full health, maybe he plays through it. He's like, honestly, it's better for him not to, right? Like, yeah. I'm led to believe that the latest injury is probably a compensation injury due to what he was playing through to begin with, right? So it's just like, you're only exacerbating the issue, as Rick Tocchet went on to say earlier today too. You know, he wants to do so much. If we do play him, he's got to pick his spots of when to really go in games. And it's just like, no matter what, the audio, the comments, they speak for themselves. You're not getting Quinn Hughes anywhere close to what he was earlier this year because of the injuries he's currently playing with.
No, and we were talking to Frank earlier, and he mentioned on Besser how he thinks, you know, you're getting a first-round pick all day, late first-round pick all day, but, you know, he's unsure on whether the Canucks trade him or not, and he's unsure if the Canucks can find a better goal scorer. And we've talked about this, too. When we look at the free agent options, there aren't a lot of players that are clearly better. At the same time, Besser's fit here, like, where does he fit?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't fit with Pettersson.
No.
With Hedl, that hasn't worked out. Now he's playing with Suter and DeBrusk. At least based on practice, a Suter might get traded. So where are you playing him if you're signing him? You know, and if you're not going to keep Besser, again, like, trade all, you have to trade these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think it's justifiable, considering where this team is at, to hold on to Besser and not sign him at the end of the season. Like, it just makes no sense for where this team is at. And if you
honestly, if he's not on a new contract by the end of Friday, I'm just assuming that the contract is eventually coming over the next couple of months.
I'd be careful assuming that, but I mean,
that's how outlandish, that's how absolutely bonkers it seems to me to let this guy go for free. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason Brock Besser should be a player that you do not trade and just let walk from free agency. If you had any semblance of being a legitimate playoff contender, then sure, I could maybe understand it in that context, but they're nowhere near that. And they're even further away from that with Quinn Hughes being where he is and the injuries he's currently carrying. The guy's been everything to this team this year, and it's breaking him.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, the Canucks can trade these guys and still kind of be in the race.
Yes.
Like, we've seen this in the past. Like, when the Blues traded Shattenkirk, for instance, you know, for first-round pick, they still made the playoffs that year. They were in sell mode, but still made it. Like, a lot of teams have done this where they make a trade, and then they still are in the race and ultimately make the postseason. You know, somebody's like, well, what message does this send, though, to the guys here that you're giving up on the season? Have the players played well enough that they deserve the benefit of doubt? No, that hasn't happened. And as far as Quinn is concerned, I'm sure Quinn wants to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm, like we talked about, not only does Quinn want to make the playoffs, management and ownership, they all want to make the postseason. But at the same time, the most important thing is selling a long-term vision.
Yes.
Do you think Quinn Hughes would understand if the Canucks trade their UFAs, get assets that they can use to go and get other players?
Yeah.
Like, that makes your team better. It all comes down to the plan you have and how you communicate it. I mentioned it on yesterday's show. Quinn, I think, is very much being kept up to date on the Canucks' plan. So not to say that he's signing off on things or playing GM, but the Canucks are, I think, very aware of what they're trying to sell to him long-term and how they want him to be involved. So you can easily convey the message you want to convey by making trades, especially when it's clear your team is struggling. Like, it's not like we're talking about a team that has a lot of signs of bounce back coming. Like, there isn't a lot of things you can look at and say, oh, they are going to turn it around. They are going to start scoring. Like, there's really no indicators of that.
No, there isn't. But Elias Pettersson could be a part of the solution to this big problem of not scoring. And he had a refreshing, candid media scrum today. His first, I believe, since the Canucks have come back from the Four Nations, since he's come back from the Four Nations. Of course, they went straight out onto the road for the five-game roadie right after that break in the season. So this is the first time we are hearing from Elias Pettersson. Here is some of what he had to say with media today, taking ownership on his struggles this year and the viral comment he had to Ian McIntyre of Sportsnet as well.
I mean, I'll just be honest. I haven't been the way I want to be this year. I haven't played to expectation I have on myself, the franchise I have on myself or have on me. So I'll be the first one to tell you. But that's in the past. I just want to take these last 22 games plus more, hopefully, and play my best hockey. I wish I could. I wish I had. We had more wins. I wish I had played a lot better, but I can't dwell on that anymore. And I mean, yeah, just trying to look ahead, and that's tomorrow games. No, I mean, I think pressure's good. It means you care. And if I wouldn't care, I wouldn't think too much about it. But it's yeah. I mean, I'm just owning up to it. I just want to turn it around more than anyone. And yeah. Good practice today, and I'm ready for tomorrow. I mean, after my comments against the Utah game, I missed a breakaway, and I got asked about it and how frustrating the season's been. I was really, really mad at that moment, and I said something I didn't mean, and I said meaning is annoying, which is some days can be, but it's not. It's the last thing that's making me play bad or not myself this year. I just wanted to make that clear.
There is Elias Pettersson taking ownership of his struggles. Obviously, looking back, does not love the comment he made to Ian McIntyre, as you spoke about and talked about after when we discussed that that little situation. And for me, sad. I mean, yeah, it's nice, and of course, the biggest thing is like, words are words. You got to see it on the ice.
Yeah.
But I do think this is a step in the process of showing accountability and working through whatever has been ailing him this year towards getting towards a better Elias Pettersson.
He said the right things.
Yeah.
And I also think at other times this season, he has also said the right things.
Mm-hmm.
This was maybe the most accountable he's been. But ultimately,
he also felt lighter.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he didn't seem so adversarial the whole time he was speaking to people about this.
It's fair. Now, he's done that in the past, too. Like, especially when JT first went out, he went down, like, he had a kind of similar type of, you know, availability and took some accountability, spoke positively and was lighter, so to speak. So I'm very careful trying to extrapolate anything from today, from Pettersson, and being like, the turnaround can happen. To me, that's just the latest straw that we can grasp at. And ultimately, it's going to come down to what is he doing on the ice? Because for all the things we talked about before, there are no indicators for this Canucks team turning a corner offensively and being significantly better. The only thing that can really charge that is Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
So is it around the corner? I mean, you want to talk yourself into this being the moment of the turnaround. To me, it's all about showing me on the ice. Like, it was nice that he said the things he said today. Like, I didn't need to hear this.
But there is actions behind it as well.
And I think maybe that's the most encouraging part, what Rick Tocchet had to say about Pettersson today.
Yeah. Here is quickly Rick Tocchet on Elias Pettersson.
The relationship, and you know, you can ask him, I think I have a really good relationship with the PD. I think the one thing that we've talked about, and you know, he has to own it, and we've talked about that, and I'm glad he's talked about that. There's nothing he could do in the past. There's expectations on him. Maybe he didn't deal well with it, maybe the preparation stuff, but now he can only go forward. And the preparation now, you know, I know he's staying on the ice a lot now early. He's meeting with coaches more. He's doing the last 48 hours or 72 hours, he's doing stuff that I'm like, wow, like, that's the stuff we need from you. So, you know, the way I look at it, he has a good 22 games for us. You might forget, we might all forget about the 60 games or whatever, this year. I think I've seen players have just average years and then have great playoffs. And what is that guy that has a great playoff, obviously he's signed, but that guy benefits, the team benefits, he reaps rewards because of that. So don't waste games. Like, he's got enough time to turn this thing around and help this team get where they want to get.
So more engaged, these are the things, and hey, maybe I'm getting a feeling of Lobaritis a little bit here again, but
yeah, I mean, to me, that's where it's at. Like, I just show me on the ice. Like, I don't care what you say, what you do, turn your season around. And it's good that Tocchet had said these things here, right? Like, it was positive for sure that the last 48, 72 hours, but it's all about results.
Yeah. Canucks need more results. They got Anaheim tomorrow. We'll see if Petey starts getting his season going, even though it's into the final third of it all. We've got lots coming up in the next segment. BJ McDonald, Canucks alumni, is going to join us. And we'll talk to Shayna Goldman, set up the trade deadline a little bit more with her. Plus, some more in the Canucks Central Roundup coming up a little bit later on in the show as well, with Jonathan Lekkerimäki called up. Where can we see him in the lineup, and what do we expect to see from his latest call-up? Maybe a late push for the Calder? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No more side eye, Sat. Right. I've had enough of this today. all right, it's Canuck Central on Sportsnet 650.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.